eternal life is something that we all look forward to. And so, before we get started, let us have a prayer, and if you bow with me, please. Our Father in heaven, we humble ourselves before your throne this morning, Lord. And we thank you for this blessed day that you've given us. And Father, we pray that as we prepare to study your word, we ask that you will guide us, Lord, that you will give understanding to all of us that are here, Lord. And we pray that that our services and that our prayers and our worship service will be well-pleasing to you. And we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us, Lord, to serve you and to do your will. And we pray that we will do it to the best of our ability. And we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Eternal life. What is eternal life? A person's new and redeemed experience in Christ Jesus that is granted by God as a gift to all believers. Eternal life refers to a quality or character of our new experience in Christ, as well as all the undying character of that eternal life. The phrase everlasting life is found in the Old Testament only once, and that's in Daniel 12:2. But the ideal of eternal life implied by the prophets in their pictures of a glorious future promised to God's people. And so, again, we're going to talk about something that we all look forward to in 2 Corinthians 4, 10 through 18. The writer writes here, caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. Now, Paul is saying here that carrying out in our bodies the death of the Lord. So Paul had written before that that he wanted to feel the pain that Christ suffered. And so when we do the will of God, and sometimes we are ridiculed, criticized, and humiliated, well, this is part of what Paul is talking about. You know, Paul had been, he had been shipwrecked. He had been thrown out for dead, left for dead. In his suffering, as a part of feeling the pain and the suffering that Christ had experienced, but not to the same extent. When Paul talks about carrying out the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus is explained as being delivered to death for Jesus' sake in his service, of Christ, Paul constantly faced death, often, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested. Amen. God's deliverance of Paul was evident that Jesus was with him. So all the times when Paul was thrown out for dead, when he was shipwrecked and beaten and humiliated and talked about, this reminded Paul of the things that Jesus went through, who had never committed a sin. You see, Christ had never committed a sin, but he suffered all these things. And so Paul wanted to feel this pain. He wanted to feel part of the pain so that he may never forget what Christ went through on his behalf and others.
And he never gave up. He kept going and going, so.
And since we have the same spirit of faith, 2 Corinthians 4:13, plus, and since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, Paul says, I delivered, and therefore I speak. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. So Paul is saying here in 2 Corinthians 4 that God is going to raise us up as he did Jesus Christ. But Paul here, I want to remind you that when Paul, he's talking about those that believe. He's talking about those that serve Christ. Those that go out and obey the instructions that Christ has given us to live. He's not talking about those that go out and do as they please, to do things that please themselves, but those that go out and do God's will. Of course, we know that that Jesus said in the gospel that if you love me, you will obey me. And so we know that obedience is a key part of having that eternal life. You know, I was thinking this morning that, sometimes we overlook the fact that that we that are Christians, that we that do obey Christ, we have hope. Can you imagine what it would be like for those that have no hope? And so, I thank God that I and you as well, we are believers in Christ. We are obedient to the instruction that God has given us to live by. And so therefore, that gives us hope. Hope that we may have eternal life, that's why I've always felt that it's important for us to, to go out and share the gospel with others, especially those that we love and care so much for. If we love our children and our family as much as we should, we're going to tell them about the gospel. Because those that have gone to sleep before us, if they're not, if they were not in Christ, if they weren't found to be, if the Lord didn't find them to be acceptable, or, if they were found to be righteous or unrighteous, that means that they are not in a good place. You see, and so the Bible gives us an example of those that are not in a good place. When when the Lord talks about when he talks about the rich man wanted to come back and warn his family. He pleaded with Abraham to come back and warn his family, but we know that that once this life here is over, we know that our destination will be set. There's no chance for another opportunity. But Romans 8:11 tells us that it says that, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. And so this makes the point that we are talking about this morning. Because the writer starts out saying that, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And so this sets conditions. When the Bible talks about if this draws the line, because this does not include everybody, which we know. And so the writer says here that this same Spirit that was in Christ Jesus, that raised Christ from the dead, dwells in you. It doesn't talk about, the writer here, and the Bible doesn't talk about, it may raise you up, it could raise you up. It says here that it will raise you up from the dead to give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. So this Spirit, it's important for us to have this Spirit, that this Spirit must dwell in us. In order for this Spirit to dwell in us, we must be, we must be obedient and focus on doing the things that we know that are pleasing to the Lord. And so Paul says, going back to 2 Corinthians 4:15, he says, for all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. So Paul says it's for your sake. So what is Paul saying here? Paul is saying that all the suffering that he endured brought good to others and glory to God. So we know that whatever we go through in life, the evident that Christ is with us is that we always seem to persevere whatever we come across. We get through it. So that let us know that Christ is with us when we get through the difficult times. And so it's important for us to keep our focus on doing the things that are pleasing to Him rather than doing the things that may be pleasing to ourselves. So Paul goes on to say, and again in 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart. He's saying that even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which we see, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, as is human nature, for us to look at the things that we open our eyes to see. Our homes, our cars. All the material things that we have. But this also includes our children, our loved ones. Sometimes we don't look at that as being, or those, I should say, as being temporary, but they are. Our family, our children, our neighbors, our friends, it's all temporary because it's not going to last. And so this is what Paul is saying here. So it's important for us to look at things that are eternal. Things that are eternal. I call it seeing the invisible. You know, this is my word for it. I call it just looking at the invisible things. Things that will last for eternity. There's nothing that we can see that will last for eternity without Christ. And so that's more important. We don't want to, we don't want to end up like the rich man and his suffering, that had no hope. So it's important for us to keep our mind focused on doing the things that we know that are pleasing to God. You see, and I remember reading the story, and in John 11:2, and it comes to mind when Martha came to Jesus, and she wanted Jesus to raise her brother who had died. But she wanted Jesus to come before he died. And so the story goes back to say that so in John 11:23, Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, though he may die, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Jesus asked her. So Martha was thinking about the resurrection. And so Jesus let her know that he is a resurrection. Now we know that we started out talking about those that die in Christ will live. Well, these are the words of Jesus. Not my words, but these are the same words that Jesus spoke that I'm sharing with you today. And so Jesus said that those that are alive when he returned will never die. So if we believe, our hope, our confidence, our faith will be in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? That means that we'll commit our lives to serving him and doing his will and not as we please, to be pleasing to ourselves. And, you know, I heard, when God created us, he created us to be dependent on him. Because when we try to do things on our own, it just doesn't work. We always seem to go wrong. But when we put things in God's hand and let him resolve our issues, it always seems to work. The one thing that we have to keep in mind is that everything is done in God's time. It's not done when we want it to happen, but it's done in his time. And we should never forget that eternal life is before us. And so Nicodemus forgot that. He forgot that, and he became lost. You know, Nicodemus was a member of the council, the high council. And he came to the Lord at night. He would only come at night. He didn't want the rest of his council members to know that he was going to the Lord, that he was coming to Jesus to ask questions. And so he would always come to the Lord at night. And so we must not lose heart. We must not lose sight of who Jesus is and what he can and will do. And so I want to remind you that 1 John 2:17 tells us that the world is passing away and all the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Again, this supports our belief in talking about the things that we see and the things that we don't see. The things that we don't see are eternal. And so this scripture here tells us that everything that we see in this world is passing away, including the lust of it. And that's why it's important for us to focus our mind, our efforts, on pleasing Christ. But again, it goes on to say, but those who do the will of God will abide forever. Something to keep in mind. Okay, and so in closing, I want to remind you of something that Paul wrote in Timothy. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were also called and confessed. The good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Paul says to hold on, fight the good fight, don't give up. Keep our focus despite the distractions, despite the, the adversities in our life. He's saying to fight the good fight of faith, that we may lay hold of eternal life, which we were also called and have confessed. A good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So with that, I'll conclude my lesson. And if there's anybody here that wish to come up and make a confession or to be baptized. I don't believe we have anybody here that have not been baptized, but if you have not, now is your opportunity as we go back and sing our hymn, 642.